Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
A young man had just purchased a brand new Jag. He was absolutely elated with his car. Ordered it in, came into the dealership. The dealer told him it was there. He picked up his Jag. I've only once been able to drive a Jaguar. Oh. Never owned one, never will. It was almost as good as driving the 1972 Corvette Stingray, but I digress. Anyhow, he's driving his Jag, and he's going through a neighborhood, houses on both sides, but it's one of these neighborhoods that has like a main road running through it now, you know, has more traffic. So he's driving through the neighborhood, and there's a lot of cars, and all of a sudden, a brick has been thrown, and it hits the passenger side of his brand new Jaguar. He hits those brakes, he squeals, he is over to the side, he is out, and it's a kid. A little kid threw the brick. He is livid. He is absolutely livid. And he runs up to the kid, and oh, he's going to have a few words with him. And the frightened boy says, please, mister, I'm sorry, but I didn't know what else to do. I threw the brick because no one else would stop. It's my brother. His wheelchair rolled off the curb, and he fell out. And after putting the crippled boy back in his wheelchair, the executive returned to his car. And he never bothered to repair it. He kept the dent there to remind him not to go through life so fast that God would have to throw a brick at him to get his attention. The verse we're going to be studying this week and next is simple yet profound. And for some of us this morning, it may be kind of God throwing a brick at us to get our attention. What I'm going to teach you has altered the course of many lives, including my own. What we're going to talk about this morning are part of Paul's instructions for believers at a church that he founded. And that church is in a place called Thessalonica. So the letter that Paul wrote is called Thessalonians. He actually wrote two letters. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians. Before we get to the verse this morning, let me give you a little context of 1 Thessalonians. It is a young church. Paul started it. It's got his heart. He wants the believers to grow in their faith. And so he sent them a letter to encourage them and to teach them. Throughout this letter, he talks about a lot of things, but in the latter part of the letter, starting in about chapter 4, he teaches them about sex and sexuality. He teaches them about the return of the Lord, Thessalonians, both first and second. If you want to understand the thing called the rapture, the resurrection, the return of the Lord, Paul teaches about that. He talks about how do you respond properly to church leadership. And then he talks about how do you work? How do you work in a way that is pleasing to God? But in chapter 5, he begins to share some closing statements. And what we're going to talk about is an incredibly powerful statement to both this young church and to all of us throughout the centuries. One commentator said this as I was studying. He said, these three verses have been called by some the standing orders of the church. In context, yes, they were for a church 2,000 years ago. But in reality, they're for you today, they're for me today, and by practicing these verses, God has the opportunity to change powerfully some things in your life. I've chosen as the general title this morning, I Choose, and we're going to talk about three things that the Bible says we need to choose. Coming up on the screen or looking at your scripture this morning, chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18 of 1 Thessalonians says this, and I'm reading from the NIV. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. And may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Verses 16, 17, and 18 on the screen. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. These are things that you either choose to do or you choose not to do. And if you don't choose to do them, you have chosen by default not to do them. This morning in your bulletin, point one, be joyful always. I want you to put on your note sheet or on a piece of paper, I choose joy. So these are commands in 1 Thessalonians. Will you choose joy? I choose joy. That's a personal statement. I put it that way for me to say it to myself. I choose joy. How about you? Do you choose joy? Here's the way I've described joy for you this morning. Joy is a lens through which we view all things. Joy is a lens through which we view all things. I choose joy. And joy and viewing all things with joy is a huge theme in the New Testament. Look at what it says in the book of James. James, writing on a very similar subject, said this, consider it all joy. Consider it all joy. Another translation says, count it all joy, my brethren. When you encounter the good things in life, when you encounter a raise, when you encounter your spouse coming home and giving you a big kiss and telling you how much he loves you, consider it all joy when those things happen. That's not what James says, because you can see it right there on the screen. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, when your spouse comes home a grouch, when you've got bills that you don't know how you're going to pay, when relationships are falling apart. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Count it all joy, consider it all joy with everything in your life. Certainly, it's easy to consider the things in your life, the good things in your life, with joy, but that's not what this is talking about. It says, when you encounter various trials. You say, well, that's James and that's Paul. Jesus never said anything like that. Yes, he did. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. What blessing awaits you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? When that happens, what does it say? What does it say when that happens? Be happy. Yes, leap for joy. Leap for joy. I leapt for joy when Sherry said yes. She didn't leap for joy at the birth of her first child. She was too sore. I was close. But I kept it down. There were nurses. And those were joyful things. But Jesus said, what blessing awaits you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? When that happens, be happy, yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. What does Paul say in 1 Thessalonians? Be joyful always. Jesus said, when stuff happens, be happy, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul says this, always be full of joy in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. That's Philippians 4:4. Now, many of you old-timers like me, we memorized it a different way. It's rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. In fact, we used to sing a little song. Some of you will remember. We won't sing it. But rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, the Apostle Paul is now getting very personal. He's being very transparent. He talks about all the things that he has suffered, many of the things that he has gone through. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, our hearts ache. It's been tough, folks. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. Or the New International Version says it this way, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Okay, now, man, this is just kind of difficult, but this is, yes, it's difficult. It's not easy, but it's what God says that we need to do. We need to be joyful always, which means you need to choose joy. It's okay, Pastor. That sounds really good. How do I choose joy? How do I always choose joy? How can I rejoice evermore? That's another way the First Thessalonians says it, going back to some of the other translations. Rejoice evermore. Always choose joy. When your hearts ache, do you always have joy? When you're sorrowful, are you always rejoicing? When you encounter trials, are you always rejoicing? How can we choose joy? One of the methods we can use to choose joy, and it's one that I use and have used for years, is to express praise. Praise. Praise the Lord in all circumstances. Praise Him when things are going well. That's easy for me. But I choose to praise Him when things are going badly. That's hard, and this is where I often miss it. But I thank the Lord that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and He reminds me of these things. Now I'm going to, these are some of the thoughts that I have. Right now I'm just going to talk to you heart to heart this morning. Your life will have rough times. Your life will have trial. Your life will have things that you don't ever wish would happen to you or anybody else. But the command from the Scripture is, be joyful always. You need to know how to choose joy. And one of the ways you choose joy is you begin to praise the Lord. You rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. But to praise Him in a way that begins to change things is you need to praise Him for who He is and what He has said about you. You need to go back to the book. And when I am choosing joy, when I am choosing joy when things are not going well, when I'm choosing joy when I'm hurting, when I'm choosing joy when it's like there is not enough money for the end of the month, or that car that I thought was going to last forever, all of a sudden, Sherry says, is making this grinding noise, and I thought, oh, that's not going to be too bad. So you take it over, and the amount comes just under $1,000, and you go, I've been working on this week. To choose joy. Now, $1,000 was in the bank. Wait a minute. The $1,000 was in the bank. Dave Ramsey, thank you. No, I'm going to thank the Lord. I'm going to thank the Lord that Dave Ramsey was brought into our lives enough that we had enough of an emergency fund sitting there that we could use our credit card. And we did. Because we had airline points, so we can fly and see grandbabies. But as soon as that bill comes in, the money is in the account, and we pay that thing off. I choose joy. Because I know that God makes all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. I choose joy, I rejoice, I praise, because He is a God who says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so much higher are my thoughts and my ways above your ways. And then He tells me elsewhere, He says, and I have loved you with an everlasting love. Well, wait a minute, the God who loves me has high thoughts about me, good plans for me. I can rejoice in $1,000 car repair because I'm not rejoicing in the thing. I'm not rejoicing for the thing. I'm rejoicing in my God who is walking with me through the thing. That's how I choose joy. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Yeah, but it's a dark season. But I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's how I can praise the Lord. That's how I choose joy. That's how I rejoice always. When Paul was going through all of his trials where he says our heart aches, he wasn't denying the pain. He wasn't coming across as trite. He was saying, I am sorrowful. I am hurting. Life has been tough. By the way, when he wrote it, he's in prison. Sorrowful, yet still always rejoicing. Do you go back to the Word of God? When I praise Him for His promises for me. When I praise Him for who He is. And by doing that, I end up choosing joy. In the middle of whatever I am going through, I am going to choose joy. In the middle of whatever you're going through today, are you choosing joy? Here is the key thought for this morning. It is not in your notes. It's nowhere. You need to write this down fully. Here's the key thought. I'm not happy about it, but I can still rejoice in it. That's the key this morning. If you're going to choose joy, it's not about happiness here. I'm not happy about that. I wasn't happy about that repair. As a matter of fact, James, you probably were not happy. I know that Pastor Tim wasn't happy about your bridges getting wiped out by the water, right? I don't think you were too happy about it. But if you're a man of God who's been following that man of God who understands these principles, after he was unhappy about it, he chose joy. He chose to rejoice. He chose to say, I don't know what you're going to do, God, but I know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes for them. At this farm, this is your farm. This is the place of your ministry. I am not going to get beat down. I'm not going to be crushed down. I'm not going to be pushed down. I am going to rejoice because I'm not happy about it, but I can still rejoice in it. Oh, I know we're not a responding church, and I don't usually get myself all worked up in preaching, but I think this is pretty good stuff. Huh? Thank you. There's an amen. So what I need you to do, what I want you to do, what I hope you will do, and if you're a guest, do it anyhow, just to make me happy. And if you're not a person who opens their mouth in church, do it anyhow, make me happy. Would you just read that line with me? I'm not happy about it, but I can still rejoice in it. And that's better. Let's do that one again. You're getting it. I'm not happy about it, but I can still rejoice in it. Okay, now I want you to change two words or three words. Put up the next one. I'm not happy about it, but I choose to rejoice in it. That's the key. Will you choose to rejoice in it? Be joyful always. Be joyful always. Will you choose to rejoice in it? I chose this message title, I Choose. Not coming up on the screen, but listen to what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Praise is a way that you enter into the place of rejoicing evermore. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Praise. A lot of praise here takes place through music. It doesn't have to be music. It can be the fruit of your lips as you're driving down the road saying, I'm not happy about it, but I'm going to choose to rejoice in it. So I just praise you, God, that you love me. I just praise you, God, that you are over my life. You are over my family's life. These circumstances I'm walking through, they hurt. They hurt like hell. I am not happy about it, but I am going to rejoice. I am going to praise you for who you are. I'm going to praise you for your good plans for me, because the Word of God tells me that you have great plans for me. Not plans to harm me, but plans to prosper me. Plans to give me a hope and a future. I don't see a future right now. I don't see much of anything right now. All I see is my problems, but my problems are not going to control my rejoicing. I am going to choose joy. I choose joy. And you don't have to be happy about it. I don't like writing car dealers checks to repair my vehicle. Especially now that the extended warranty is gone. Not the extended, you know, the how many ever miles they give you on those things. This whole concept of praise and the power of praise was really taught many years ago, and some of it focused on a man by the name of Merlin Carruthers. He wrote a book called Prison to Praise, and he's written other ones. In fact, I'm going to read a couple of stories from one of the sequels called Power in Praise. But Pastor Carruthers, he was a chaplain, an army chaplain, said this: the enemy's arrows just can't penetrate the joy of someone who is praising the Lord. The enemy's arrows just cannot penetrate the joy of someone who is praising the Lord. And this whole attitude of choosing joy and rejoicing, it's been picked up by those in the secular media. Now, some of these people have religious backgrounds, but John L. Mason says this: how you see things on the outside of you depends on how things are on the inside of you. How you see things on the outside of you depends on how things are on the inside of you. If the inside of you is rejoicing, you're going to begin to see life differently. If the inside of you is just, oh, moaning and grumbling and complaining and cynical and, oh, woe is me. I'll tell you what, I love Winnie the Pooh. I've got a granddaughter that loves Winnie the Pooh, and I laugh at Eeyore, but I've been too much of Eeyore in my life. Oh, it's a sunny day. I'm sure that means I'm going to get dried out. Oh, it's a rainy day. Oh, I'm sure, you know. But how many of us believers are Eeyores inside? Well, no wonder we see life the way it is. If we are men and women who have planted the Word of God in us, we have learned some scriptures. By the way, did you notice? And this is, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I will. I'll pat myself on the back. Virtually every scripture that I mentioned to you, my God makes all things work together for good to those who love the God, Lord, and are called according to his purposes to them. I'm not reading that. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. My ways are higher than your ways, says the Lord. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts towards you higher. I'm not reading those. Why? I got them inside. I can call on him at any time. You need to get some of God's word, some good promises in your life. I am loved by an everlasting love. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Those things are inside, and the inside of me changes how I see the outside of me, even when I'm writing the check. Even when child is in rebellion, even when the marriage begins to break up. And I'm talking this morning about some things, and you may be going through something that is so raw today, it is so hurtful, that it appears that what I'm saying is very trite. It's this pie-in-the-sky Christianity. Folks, it is not pie-in-the-sky Christianity. I have walked this for 30 years. It is what has kept me sometimes sane. I have been awake all night long with a worry and a concern and a problem. And I'll tell you what, those nights that I've been awake where I remind myself of who our God is, how wonderful he is, how good he is, his good plans for me, his good plans for my family, those are the nights that are better because I get what's inside of me to reflect upon what is outside of me. I am not in any way trying to dismiss or trying to make you feel like what you're walking through is trite. Paul was in prison. Paul had been beaten for his faith. Paul had been severed from family relationships. Sure, he had friends visit him. But Paul was suffering for his faith. Yet Paul says, sorrowful, yet rejoicing all the time. Sorrowful, yet rejoicing. He could do that because of what was planted within him. I'm going to read you a few stories of people who caught this concept. Now, I've decided that when somebody writes a book like this, they should be required to do what those commercials do that are talking about weight loss. You know, those weight loss commercials for Weight Watchers or whatever, the Jenny Craig and things. You know, it's results not typical. And really, the stories in this book, I don't disagree with any of them. I don't disbelieve any of them. But the response in the life happen so quickly that I just want to say results not typical, but boy, hang on to this stuff because results do happen, okay? So when you find out that somebody starts putting this in practice and the next day something happens, as I'm going to read in some of these stories, I just want to say results are not typical, but they do happen that way. You know why the Jenny Craig ads put the people who lose 60 pounds in 6 months? Because it stirs you to believe that it could happen to you. Do you know why the stories are put in books like this of people who God moves upon their life quickly so that your faith will be raised to the point that you'll begin to practice these things? Does that make sense? But I qualify and say results are not typical. Let me read to you. A Christian businessman made a deeper commitment of his life to Christ and shortly thereafter found himself laid off from his highly paid job as an executive. The man searched for another job, but cutbacks in the industry made positions scarce. His family suffered from the financial stress and his anxieties increased as the bills mounted and his prayers seemed unanswered. He had been unemployed for a year when he heard me speak one Saturday night about being thankful for all things. It suddenly dawned on him that God probably had a good reason for not having led him to a job. And he began to thank God for his unemployment and for every hardship he and his family were suffering as a result. And all day Sunday, he continued to praise God, and he discovered that his fears and resentments concerning the situation were decreasing. In their place, he felt genuine joy. Early Monday morning, the phone rang. Another executive wanted to know if he could go to work for him. "Yes, I'm available," said the man. "How soon can you start?" "Tomorrow." "Then be here at 9 a.m. ready to start." His new job gave him an excellent salary, but more important, he was in direct contact with a group of businessmen daily. His witness for Christ led one man after another to accept the Lord as his Savior. The businessman told me, "As long as I carried a spark of fear and resentment over my situation, I was blocking God from doing what he wanted to do in my life. As soon as I was able to trust him and praise him for my life exactly as it was, he was able to take over and place me where he wanted me." A young teacher was spending her summer vacation in the mountains when a letter was mailed from the superintendent's office telling her to report for a conference concerning next year's assignment. This was back in the days when letters actually were sent in the mail, and depending on the postal service, it could take a week or two to get there. Nowadays, she would have probably gotten a text. She didn't get the letter, and when she didn't show up for the conference, her job was given to someone else. When she returned from her vacation, she discovered that she was unemployed. Her first impulse was to panic and go home to her parents in another state. School was to start in 2 weeks, and there was no job openings in the district, and she had heavy financial obligations from her college days. This young lady had just read Prison to Praise and recognized her present situation as an opportunity to practice what she'd learned. She deliberately quenched the impulse to panic. Thank God that he had allowed her to lose her job, and thanked him that he had a perfect plan for her life. For 2 days, she praised God, fighting back every temptation to despair. That's going to happen, folks. You start practicing this, and all those old thoughts are going to come in for you to despair, for you to get down. You're just going to have to work through them. You're going to have to rejoice always. You're going to have to choose joy over and over and over again. The situations that I've walked through, I choose joy one day, and 5 hours later, I'm back down. I got to choose joy again. Kind of like the forgiveness things, you know, 70 times 7. You got to choose joy 70 times 7 over and over and over and over and over and over again so that the inside gets changed. For 2 days, she praised God, fighting back every temptation to despair. And on the third day, a neighbor talked to her across the back fence. "You know, you really ought to be teaching in a Christian school," she said. "Why don't you call the principal of the school where my son goes?" Well, the young teacher did, and discovered to her surprise that a position as a first grade teacher had suddenly been left vacant. Remember, results not typical. She was interviewed and got the job. "I know that God was able to take over the situation because I trusted him enough to praise him," she said. "If I pulled my usual old trick of panicking and running home to mom and dad, I might still have been unemployed and fussing at God for not looking after me." Her new job suited her far better than the old one. She was able to freely share her faith in the classroom and could openly pray with any of the children who had problems. God had a perfect plan and a perfect place for this young teacher and for the Christian businessman. He closed the doors of the jobs they had held and thought that they wanted, and he opened the right doors when they trusted him and praised him in their unemployment. Praised him in their unemployment. Can you praise him? Can you praise him? Can you choose joy in every situation? Remember, put that main thought back up there again, if you would, please. Number two, the one where we choose. I'm not happy about it, but I choose to rejoice in it. You're not happy about it, but you choose to rejoice in it. The team will come to the platform this morning. As I said, I want to talk a little bit heart-to-heart with you. I know enough about life, I know enough about pastoring a church, a great church this size, to know that there may be some of you that are really walking through some very, very hard and difficult things. And this thought about rejoicing in the Lord always, choosing joy continually, not being happy about something, but choosing to rejoice, choosing praise, is like, this is really pushing you out of your comfort zone. And it's also maybe even stepping on your pain a little bit. Listen, you're here because God needed to speak to you this morning something that will help you to begin to walk out of this. You don't have to agree with this. It doesn't matter. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to heaven. But wouldn't it be better to go to heaven with a joyful heart and a joyful countenance than an Eeyore type of a countenance? I'm going to challenge you this morning. Choose joy. Would you bring the text back up? I think it's one of the last two slides. I want you to see something. We're going to talk more about this next week when we go about the prayer aspect and when we go about Thanksgiving. But it says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Did you see what that next line says? For this is God's will. This is not a suggestion. This is God's will for you. Are you going to choose God's will for that negative circumstance, that dark season that you're walking through, that relationship that has fallen apart, those circumstances that got thrust at you that you did not see coming? Will you choose joy? Will you choose to praise when you don't feel like it? Remember what Hebrews says. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I want to encourage you, choose joy. Choose joy continually. Choose to rejoice. Choose to praise. Choose to remind yourself of the promises of a good God for you. Because I choose to remember the promises, the same promises of a good God for me. And they have radically altered the way that I am able to live my life. Because this is God's will for me in Christ Jesus. Stand, if you would, bow your head. Lord, I'm not sure who this morning this message is really hitting them like a brick, like that brick hit that man's car. For others, it's a reminder. I needed this reminder myself. As I was preparing the message, I was just like, I began to practice some things that I hadn't been practicing as often. And Lord, some people this morning are going to begin to look at their circumstances and look at their life differently. But today, somebody has just been hit by a brick. You've got their attention. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that they step out. Begin to praise. They step out and choose joy, choose to rejoice, even though they're not happy about where they are. They are choosing joy. Lord, as they do it again and again and again, it's going to open their life and their hearts to a different way of living. So that they will come to a point where they can be like the Apostle Paul, sorrowful, yet rejoicing. that they could be like people that Jesus said undergo all kinds of trials, but they leap for joy because they know how you work in the lives of your children who obey you. Lord, we thank you that you're a big God. You're a great God.
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you're not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m., and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.